Well, good evening, Regen. My name is Michael. All my friends call me Zig. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery from pride, porn, people-pleasing, and this past week, anger and control. All right, excited for tonight. I feel like we should just honestly run that song back, but I'm so glad that everyone is here. And so we are continuing our series in Ephesians 1, where we are looking at what the Bible teaches us about our identity in Christ. It's like, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? What has Christ done for us? And so for the past several weeks, we've slowly been working our way through Ephesians 1. And so we're going to continue that series tonight. And so we are going to specifically look at Ephesians 1:6. But I want to read the entire passage so we can see the context in which we can understand better what Christ has done for us. And so Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestined us into adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will." And this is where we're going to focus our time tonight. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." And so tonight, we're going to be talking about that we are accepted. And so I don't know about you, but for me, I've spent most of my life struggling to try to be accepted. I can think all the way back to middle school and junior high, and I did some really dumb things to be accepted. But then I got older and got into high school and college and 20s, and I look back and I'm like, man, I can see myself desiring, striving to be accepted by my peers, by my bosses, by friends, by relationships. And so much of my life was spent trying to get people's acceptance. And it was actually exhausting, because it felt like I had to be a certain person all the time. I felt like I was never honestly just good enough, that there was always room for improvement. I don't know if you can relate with that, but I want you to know what Scripture teaches us is that we are accepted in Christ. And so tonight, I just want to pull that apart and explain to you a little bit more of what that means for us practically today. And so you'll see it up on the screen. You are fully accepted in Christ because of Christ and for the glory of Christ. And so the first section there, you are fully accepted in Christ. I want you to know that no matter what you did before you walked into this room, God accepts you. I don't care if it was last night. I don't care if it was last year. I don't care if it was 10 years ago. I want you to know that God accepts you. There's nothing you can do in which he would reject you because of what we have already talked about in previous weeks. So we see in verse 4 that we read earlier, that we were chosen before the foundation of time. So Dave walked us through that should excite us, because it means it was nothing that we did to earn this, that God chose us. And that in his choosing, he also said that we would be holy and blameless. And so whatever you walked in with tonight, I want you to know that it's the Lord has chosen you if you have placed your faith in Christ. If you've come to the point to where you have realized that you are in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, you have been chosen. And it is God's intention that he will continue to work, that you will be holy and blameless. And so this should give us hope. We didn't do anything to earn God, yet he chose us and pursues us and loves us, which leads directly into the next point. And so we see that it is that we are fully accepted in Christ because of Christ. I love what Isaiah 53:5 says. It says, but we were pierced, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. You see, Christ is the one that died for our sins. There was nothing we could do to ever atone for the sins that we had committed against God. Christ did that for us, and it is because of Christ that we are accepted. It says in Romans 3 that we have received the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see, Christ came, the second person of the Godhead, he was fully God, came, lived a perfect life in which we should have lived, but didn't and couldn't because we are sinful. So he did not deserve to die, but yet he did die on our behalf for our sins. And so it is only through Christ are we actually accepted. We did not do anything to earn this, but yet Christ still died for us, which leads to the very last part, and that is that you are fully accepted in Christ because of Christ for the glory of Christ. I want you to know that it is God's joy to save you. There's nothing you need to do to clean yourself up enough to present yourself worthy enough, that it is for his glory and for your good. He loves you. He sees you. He knows why you are here, and he has accepted you. And it is for his glory. So while God offers his grace freely as a gift to us, it came at a great cost. It came at the sacrifice of Christ. But you'll notice that I ended earlier talking about the life and death of Christ. But we know that they didn't end there. We just finished singing it about our living hope. That Christ didn't remain dead, but after 3 days, rose again, demonstrating that he had fully satisfied the wrath of God. That he had fully atoned for our sins. And that he had conquered sin, death, and Satan. And that is good news for us. And it says he did that for the glory of Christ. And so we see that to be accepted in Christ fully means that you are accepted in Christ because of Christ for the glory of Christ. Now, you're probably thinking, great, what does that have to do for me right now in the midst of my recovery? I want you to know that it has everything to do with where you are. Because what it tells you is that there's nothing you have done or will do that is beyond the scope of God's grace. I love that one commentary that I was looking at described it as bestowed grace upon us. When it talks about made, another verse, John 1:16 says, for from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. So I want you to know that if you have placed your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are accepted. But here's the beauty of this, is that it actually, this passage shows us how we should respond to this. And so we've got this understanding that we don't deserve it, that we've received it, and it's for God's glory. But what do we do with it? This passage says it in verse 6 at the very start. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. We should respond with praise. Now, here's the hard reality of where we are. We worship what we love. Think about that. We worship what we love. We believe that it provides something to us. And so a part of my story, 8 years ago, walking in here, I would have told you I hated pornography, but my actions would have told you something completely different. I worshiped pornography. I continually went back to it and back to it and back to it, even though it provided me nothing. It actually broke me. It brought devastation to my life. I saw the same thing with fear and control. And so maybe you can relate that you're here for something that you feel like you just can't stop. I want you to know that there's hope, that God sees you, he loves you, he accepts you, and it's because of his love he wants to change you. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants you to experience life as he intended with him. And so this is why it's important that we praise him. Because the thing that we worship is the thing that we love. And when we understand the extent that God has gone to save us, it should produce in us a love for him. He has chosen you. He has adopted you, as Chuck talked about last week. And he accepts you in Christ. And so when I came to Regen, I was looking, desiring freedom from pornography. So maybe you can relate with that. But what I learned was the truth of Romans 8, 31 and 32. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" You see, what I learned was that God had graciously given me more than I could ever imagine, and that was the opportunity to be in relationship with him. And so as I grew my understanding of who God was, and as I grew my praise for him, and as I grew my love for him, I began to see freedom happening in my life. And so we often want to think freedom is white-knuckling it and finding a way to just get through. But the reality is, if you want freedom, you need to praise God. You need to understand what he has done for you, because he loves you and he accepts you, but he doesn't want to keep you there. And so next week, we're going to talk about what that looks like, what it means to be redeemed.